guys. So it's been a while since I did a recording, and I just want to talk to you guys for a second. Anyone out there who just can relate to having like anxiety and depression and how it affects the relationships around you, this episode is for you. And anyone who just wants to learn more about mental health. The worst thing that upsets me the most about my mental health, especially with my anxiety and depression, is that it affects all of my relationships with my parents, with my family, with my friends, with relationships when I'm trying to date. It's just like it affects every aspect of my life, and I hate that. In my dating life, every time that I will try to date a guy or get to know a guy or talk to a guy, my mental health just gets in the way. Like, it sucks because I'm losing a lot of relationships because of it. And a part of me, I want to blame myself. And the other part of me, I just wish more people were more understanding when it comes to mental health issues and that they wouldn't leave so quick. Every time that the last two times I really liked a guy, like my anxiety got in the way. Not everyone knows, but I have really bad driving anxiety. I don't like to drive on the interstate or the freeway. I don't like to drive places I don't know. And if I have to go places I don't know, I have to like literally pull up the map on Google or wherever to be able to see where I'm going, look at pictures and everything before I can drive it. I've had this driving anxiety for a couple of years now, and it's gotten really bad. I try my best, but it just affects everything around me. Like, the last person that I was talking to stopped talking to me because they lived far away from me, and I kept asking them, could they meet me in the middle for us to hang out? At first, they didn't mind doing it, and they would actually come all the way to my city, but then after a while, they would, like, come to me, and I said, I can't do that. I pulled up, like, the address where they wanted me to meet them, and it was, like, looking at the area and where I had to drive, I just didn't feel comfortable doing it. And I told them that, and it just turned into like a big issue where they got upset with me, and they were like, oh, you can't come to me, I've come to you this many times. And I asked them, hey, can you meet me in the middle at this mall, because the mall was like 20 minutes from them when it was an hour from me, which means I would be driving longer than them. But they didn't even want to do that, and they just ended up, you know, leaving my life. And then when that happened, I was sad at first, but then I kind of got over it. And then after not speaking to that person for like a week or two, they popped back up saying they miss me and all this stuff. But at that point, I was numb to the situation. I didn't want to deal with them anymore, because I feel like if people can leave my life so quick because they don't understand my anxiety or my depression or my mental health issues, why would I want them in my life? To me, that's how I view things. And I get that a lot of it is my anxiety and something that I have to work on. But I'm in therapy. I'm on medications. I'm trying, you guys. I really am. But it's not easy. And I feel like dating me can, for some people, can be really hard because they don't understand how mental health works. And the people who say, oh, I deal with anxiety and depression too, but I handle it differently. But we all handle our mental health issues differently. Some people may handle it one way, another person might handle it a different way, because we are different people. But I feel like if somebody truly, truly likes you and loves you and cares for you, what you go through will not make them want to leave. So for me, when people leave my life now, especially when it comes to dating, because they can't handle my anxiety or depression, I just let them go and I become numb to the situation. Like, recently, I really was liking this guy. I still like him, but he got really upset with me because he wanted to hang out. The honest truth is, I wasn't like fearful of where he lived because I knew the area because I used to work out that way. So I wasn't scared to drive to where he lived or whatever to meet up with him. It was more so that my anxiety just kicked in because it was the fear of hanging out with somebody, being vulnerable with somebody, letting somebody get close to me, because I've done all those things in the past and I've gotten really, really hurt by it. And it was just a fear of, I don't want to get too close to this person. I don't want to get too vulnerable. I don't want to let them in. Mind you, this person has been really sweet with me. We text every day. We FaceTime. We talk on the phone. And it was just like, now it's time to start hanging out more, which I didn't have an issue with. But it was like he got so upset with me, and I understood to a certain extent why he was upset, because He wants to spend more time with me. He wants to see where things can go. But it was like, what more could I do? I was upset with myself. It made me emotional because I really did like this person. We were texting these long messages because he was upset, and we even FaceTimed and we talked about it, but I could just feel that he was just mad at me. And I tried my best to try to fix the situation, rectify it, but it even seemed like no matter what I did, it just wasn't enough. He even said to me, I'll come to you at one point, but it was like super late. You know, I'm one of those people that don't like people driving too late at night on the road because of cops, and just, you never know what could be on the road. And then after that, he was like, well, I'm going to sleep. I even tried to, like, text him to tell him, like, I was sorry and I felt bad and all these things. And he just kept leaving me on read, which is something he never does. Mind you, his phone is set up where he can read the message and you can see that he read it. He always reads my messages and responds back right away. But I knew he was mad at me yesterday because he just kept leaving me on read and he would not respond back. So I just let it go. I said, you know what? I'm going to give him space. I'm not going to say nothing to him today. If he chooses to talk to me, he does. Yes, it hurts when other people feel hurt by my mental health because I don't want to hurt anybody. He says to me he can relate because he struggles with anxiety and depression too. But if you can relate to me, why would you react that way? That's what I don't get. People who say they go through it too should understand and be more understanding. But they seem to not do that always because they feel like they handle it differently. Which is fine, you guys. But I was really, really hurt by this situation. And to any woman listening to me or anyone dealing with mental health, just understand that the right person for you is going to love you through it. Yes, they might get frustrated. Yes, they might not always understand why you're struggling, what you go through. But if you have anxiety, depression, or whatever mental health illness you have or issue that you may go through, the person who loves you is going to love you through it. They're going to love you through it. Yes, it may be hard on them, but they are not going to leave no matter what. And I'm not saying that he's going to leave my life because I don't know. But I just feel like today being Saturday, I'm just going to give him his space and not going to reach out to him. Normally, I send him a good morning message and we talk all day. But I didn't send him anything today because I feel like he was still upset with me from yesterday. You know, I'm learning that I can't control someone leaving my life. It's like if my mental health issue is too much for you or if I've done something, you know, I get it. But it does hurt my feelings, and it hurts my feelings more because I feel like my anxiety is always winning, and I hate that. I feel like my anxiety shouldn't be winning. I should be winning. And I know that it's something I'm working on. I'm in therapy. I'm trying to work through it. It's definitely something that is a struggle for me that I'm trying to get better with. And not everybody around me is going to understand it. And that is perfectly, perfectly fine. I get it. I'm not trying to force my mental health issues on nobody. I'm not trying to force nobody to understand it. But to me, to be in my life, whether you're a friend, family member, or relationship-wise, you would have to want to at least try to understand it. You know what I mean? And if you're somebody out here who's dealing with mental health and somebody's not even trying to understand or trying to learn it, that... So, you guys, it's hard sometimes, you know, when there's relationships and there's things going on and happening around you and people don't always understand it. But for me, the person that truly loves you is going to want to be there for you. But at the same time, you have to give people time. You know, you give people their time. I've had to learn that, you know, I want anyone listening to this to know that when you are healing, when you are trying to get better and you know you're making all the changes you can, when you're in therapy, when you're on your meds, when you're taking that initiative to get better with your mental health, be proud of yourself. Pat yourself on the back. And just know that you're trying. Just know that it's a day-by-day process and that it gets better as each day goes by. My biggest thing to people who do have like any kind of mental health issues, if you are going into a relationship where you're dating somebody, let that person know about your mental health issue. That's the one thing my therapist always told me. She said, you know what?
when you're dating, let that person know so that they're aware. So if something were to happen, so if anything goes wrong or whatever the case may be, they are aware of your mental health issue. So I do let people know that I'm dating or people I'm talking to know ahead of time so that they're not shocked. But like I said, not everybody will stay through this journey. Some people can't handle it. Some people don't understand it and they don't want to understand it. Some people understand it and they may go through the same thing as you, but they may handle it differently. And they feel like because they handle it one way, you should be handling it that way too. And I think that I'm proud of myself because I'm doing the work, you know, but it does. I'm human. It hurts my feelings sometimes. Or I get sad when people around me are hurt by my mental health issue, or people make it hurt by something I do that I don't intentionally mean to do because I'm struggling with my anxiety that day, or I'm having a depressed moment, you know, and I'm learning through it. I will tell you guys one thing. I don't know when it happened or when it shifted, but I remember when I used to be so okay with hanging out with people, meeting up with people, getting to know people. It never bothered me. I could do it within the snap of a finger. But now it's like when somebody wants to hang out with me, when somebody wants to really get to know me, that fear kicks in and that anxiety just takes over and I just cannot do it. And a lot happened last year. And I think that that's kind of why it has affected me in some weird sense. Last year, I lost my best friend. He passed away suddenly. And after his death, I just started to see like a shift in me. It's kind of like one of those things where you want to get to know people and you want people around you, but you have that fear of losing people, of someone getting close to you and they leaving, or feeling abandonment issues and things like that, because you don't want to lose someone that's close to you, right? So a lot of factors play in this situation with my dating, you guys, but I'm proud of myself. And don't beat yourself up if somebody does leave your life. It just says that God is saying to you that person is not meant to be in your life and you should not chase them. You should let them go. That's what you should do. But I say all that to say is also when you're dating, guys, give people space. Some people might be upset with you. Things may happen. Don't push them to understand. Don't try to force them to understand. If they need a moment, give them a day or two where you don't text, you don't call. Allow them to have time to breathe, to take everything in. And then if they want to reach out to you, they can. Some people, what happens is when we immediately know someone is upset with us, our first reaction is to be like, let me text them. Let me call them. Let me show up at their house because I want them to have an understanding of what happened and how I can fix it. I gotta fix this. And I think that's our first reaction, because that's my reaction when I hurt somebody or when someone is upset by something I've done. I want to fix it right then and there. But some people don't react that way. Some people need time. They need space. They need you to pull back from them so that they can think. And then when they are ready, they will talk to you. And I promise you they will, if they really still truly like you or are a good friend to you or whatever, they will come back. And if they don't come back, it's because God is saying, hey, that's just it. So that's just my dating life, y'all. It can be very hard. So anyone out there struggling with the dating part and also having like anxiety, depression, or any mental health issue, it can be a struggle. But just know that you're not alone and it will get better. And one day you will meet somebody who will totally get it, and nothing you do will push them away. I'm gonna be real with y'all. The right person for you, no matter what goes on, they are not going to leave your life. You can put walls up to block them out. You can push them away. You can do anything in this world, but because they love you or because they like you that much, nothing you do is going to make them leave. But if somebody can leave so quick over something, it says they don't care. They're not meant to be there. So that's what I look at when I date too. The right person, no matter what goal happens, they are going to want to be there. They are going to want to show up for you. So remember that when you're dating. Don't get discouraged, guys. Know that no matter what, somebody out there cares and somebody out there loves you and somebody out there will appreciate you for who you are. Now, again, a lot of us, you know, like I said, mental health, it affects a lot of things. It has affected the relationships with my family as well, you guys, because sometimes certain things will trigger me and I don't know how to always react to those things, especially with my parents. And I'm learning how to deal with those issues and those things. And when I'm triggered, I'm learning how to, okay, deal with this a different way, Sherelle. Instead of blowing up, instead of getting mad, instead of blaming people, learn to deal with it a different way. That's something I'm teaching myself on a daily basis, you guys, because sometimes our family members will know about our mental health issues and still do things to trigger us. Sometimes they will know about it, but they don't fully understand it. I was in a therapy session with my therapist 2 weeks ago, and She said a lot of people don't understand what mental health looks like. She said people will think because you're laughing or smiling that you're happy. People will think that because you're in a good mood that you're not sad or depressed, because they don't see it on you. People don't realize that you can't see mental health on somebody, and you cannot. There's been plenty of times where I was depressed, you guys, and I was so good at masking it that my family would be like, oh, you look so happy. Oh, you must be in a good place. Oh, your mental health is so good. And I would be like, really? I would be masking so much because I didn't want to show people that I was sad or depressed. But I'd be laughing, joking, and pretending like I was so good. And I think that that's a thing we have to work on too with our family members. We have to get them to understand our mental health. We have to break it down and educate them, because not everyone in your family will get it, will understand your mental health issue. They're not going to always get it. And sometimes the relationships with family members can be a little bit tricky because they don't understand it. They think you're just, like, let's say, for example, you don't clean your room for a day because you're depressed and you've been laying around all day, and your mom comes in your room and she goes, this is an example, y'all. And she goes, well, you're just being lazy. Are you really being lazy, or is it just your mental health has kicked in and your depression is causing you to not want to do anything all day? It's not being lazy. It's just your mental health has gotten to a place where it's kicking in and it's not allowing you to do anything that day. Again, those are times when we can sit down and we can educate our family members and friends and say, hey, this is not me being lazy. This is me dealing with depression. Today, I'm having a really bad day. I'm emotional. I'm going through this, that, and the third. I need you to understand. And it's all about understanding, because once you sit down with somebody and have a conversation, you break that conversation down, people are willing to be way more understanding. Some people just don't understand it. Like my father, for example. My father, he said one day he doesn't understand why anyone would want to commit suicide. And I had to sit and think, because my dad has never really seen mental health up close, so he doesn't really understand it. And I had to break down that a lot of people don't want to commit suicide. A lot of people want to live, but they get to a place in their life where they're just tired. They're tired. They're so tired of going through the up and down of depression. They're so tired of dealing with the daily struggles of life and work and stress that they just get to a point where they feel like life would just be better if they weren't here. No one really wants to die, but when you get to a suicidal place, and I've been there, I've had suicidal thoughts plenty of times, you guys. Never went through with anything, thank God. But when I had those thoughts, it was because I was tired. I was ready to give up. I was in a place where I just felt like, I couldn't do it anymore. I felt like I couldn't do it anymore. I felt like I just felt like I had to give up. I was in so much pain, you guys, so much pain, and nobody saw the pain but me. And I just didn't want to be here anymore. I'm going to tell you guys, this might trigger some people. So please, if you are triggered or anything, don't listen to this part. But this is just me telling my story. I remember I kept having these thoughts and these visions that I was on top of a building. And it reminded me of a building that you would see like in New York City, those high up buildings, and those apartment buildings. And I just kept seeing myself walking across the ledge. And I kept seeing it and seeing it, and I was just tired. I remember even reaching out to the National Suicide Hotline because I was like, I'm tired. And the lady said, you're just in so much pain. And I said, yes, I'm in so much pain. I just needed to talk to someone. I even called I remember at the time I was seeing a different therapist, and I called her up and I was like, I'm having thoughts. I'm concerned. And I feel like so many of us go through that. But in those moments when family members don't understand mental health, those are times to educate. Because, again, mental health does impact the relationships we have, not just with ourselves, but with the people around us. And I think it's so important to have these conversations and have these open dialects and talk. Even with my daughter, she's 6, but there's times where I talk to her and say, I let her know what mental health looks like. I say, hey, she even looks at me and says, Mommy, today's not a good day for you. I can tell you're sad. I talk to her about my depression and my anxiety, and I'm going to tell you guys why. I think it's important to talk to your children about mental health. Because whether they're 5, 6 years old, there are 5 and 6 year old kids that are struggling with depression as well. There's 5 or 6 year old kids that are committing suicide as well. There's 5 or 6 year old kids that are getting bullied and things are happening to them at school. And they need to understand what mental health looks like so that they, if they have a friend like that, they can help that friend. You know, they can be there for that friend. Or even if they're themselves are going through it, they are able to combat against it or talk to somebody about it. So I think it's very important to teach your kids, even at a young age, what mental health looks like, because some people are just struggling in silence. I saw a show not too long ago. I think it was Dr. Phil. I know Dr. Phil's show is being canceled, but I saw an episode not too long ago, and it was a mom on there who's crying about her daughter. Her daughter had committed suicide. And I just remember her crying on stage because she didn't understand why it happened. And she said that you know, and I remember she said that she had this open dialogue with all her kids, and she would have them come in her room and sit and talk with her. And she thinks that day before her daughter, you know, did what she did, she was trying to talk to her. She wanted to tell her something, but she couldn't tell her. And so that's why I said it's so important to talk to your children, have these open dialogue conversations about mental health as well, have that relationship there as well, because it can help them. And so mental health, like I said, it affects all of our relationships. Whether we wanted to or not, it can affect our dating life, our relationship with our friends. I've had times where my friends wanted to hang out and I wouldn't go because my mental health was telling me, stay in the house, Sherelle. You're depressed today. You're not leaving this house. You're going to stay here all day. You're not going to do this today. You're staying here. And so because of that, I wouldn't leave my house. I'd be crying my eyes out, not leaving the house. I'd be texting, calling my friends like, I can't make it. And it wasn't me that didn't want to make it. It was my mental health. It was my anxiety and depression that was like, nope, you're not going to make it today. It's like you have two people on your shoulder. You have the person that wants to be normal and not have mental health, and the person that has mental health, and the mental health person is saying, not today, Sherelle. And the other person is saying, you can do it, Sherelle. But you, that mental health side sometimes just wins. And I know my therapist was telling me, she said, Sherelle, you know, sometimes you have to say, you're not going to win today to your mental health. You have to say to your anxiety, today's not your day. You're not winning. I'm going to do what I want to do. You're not going to stop me. Give your anxiety or your depression 10 minutes of your day and let it take 10 minutes where you take a break. And after that 10 minutes, don't let it affect you no more. And I've had to learn that. I've had to learn, like, you know what? This is true. My anxiety and my depression has sucked so much in my life and stopped me from doing so many things and being around so many people and going to so many events because I allowed it to stop me. But sometimes we have to say, not today. Not today. You are not taking my whole day. You are not taking my life from me anymore. I'm going out the house today. I'm going to do this today. And a lot of people, I want to tell you guys something. It is okay to be on medications as well. Don't feel like if you're on meds, something is wrong with you. I used to think that. I would take medications for like maybe 2 months, stop taking them because I thought I was better. I didn't need to take them. Now I'm learning. I have to be on medications to function. I have to be on medications to be okay. And there's nothing wrong with being on medication. A lot of people, which really upsets me, they equate. I'm sorry, y'all. Don't make fun of me. I say equivalate. Is that even a word, y'all? Oh, my God. That's what happens when you're trying to sound smart. I know y'all laughing at me. But on a serious note, a lot of people do equate. If you have a mental health issue, if you're on medication, people tend to think, quote, unquote, you're crazy. That's what people do. And I think it sucks that that stigma and that's what people think of people. So because people think those things, we tend to think, are we really crazy? Are we really going through this? What's happening with us? Blah, blah, blah. When the reality is there's nothing wrong with us. We are just human beings who happen to be going through something. It doesn't shape or make who we are. I had someone tell me, they said, Sherelle, if you don't open yourself up, if you don't do this, you're going to lose all the people and you're going to miss out on opportunities. And I look at that as, if somebody feels in their mind that, again, this goes back to what I said in the beginning, that my mental health is too much for them and they choose to leave, whose fault is that really? Should I blame myself or beat myself up, even though I know I'm trying to get better? Or is it the person because they just gave up because they couldn't deal with it? You know, be proud of the progress you're making. Be proud of it. Don't let your mental health affect all your relationships, though. Try your best to not allow it to affect your relationships. But also keep in mind that the right person, whether it be a friendship, family member, relationship, whatever, is going to stay in your life no matter what. And they're going to want to get you help. I work with mental health patients every day. I see parents who fight so hard for their kids. They will call us. They will show up. They will say things to me on the call to let me know that they are going to go to bat for their children. They are going to make sure their kids are good. And if you have somebody in your life who's willing to go to bat for you because they love you that much, and no matter what happens, they're going to stay, that's the person that you want in your life. So that's how I look at it too. There's only so much you can do as a human being. People are going to do what they want to do. But don't ever feel like your mental health issue is too much. I used to say this to myself. I used to say, I feel like I'm too much. People aren't going to love me. I'm too much. I'm too hard to love, or I got this or I got that. Rephrase that. You are not too hard to love. You are not too much for the right person. Remember that. You never will be too hard to love or too much for the right person. But the wrong person, yeah, you'll be too much. Yeah, you'll be hard to love because they don't know how to love you because they're not right for you in the first place. So just keep that in mind when you are out here and you're building relationships, you guys. Just know that you can get through whatever with the right people in your corner. Healing, you know, mental health, it's a daily process. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. One thing about me that I pride myself on, y'all, I don't judge nobody. People could tell me their stories and I don't judge. I had someone tell me some stuff about themselves a few weeks ago. Never repeated the story. Never looked at that person any different. And that person said to me, you're the first person that didn't look at me differently. They said, every time I tell my story to somebody, they judge me. They stop talking to me. They don't want to deal with me. But throughout the whole conversation with that person, I never once looked at them differently. I never thought any negativity popped in my mind about them, because people are human. I don't judge people, and I sure as hell would hope nobody would judge me. But this is the world we live in. People are going to judge each other. People are going to say things and think things and assume things, and it's up to you to combat against that. I think, who said, you know, it happens. But I want you guys to take from this that mental health sometimes can affect your relationships. It can. Try not to let it. But I also want you guys to take away that you're not a bad person. We are all human. We go through things. Don't let anybody make you feel bad about yourself because you had a mental health moment, or you had a breakdown, or something didn't go right and you were upset. Don't let anybody make you feel bad. And just know that the right people for you will still be around no matter what you go through. No matter what you go through. Focus on loving yourself. Pray. Go to the gym. Meditate. Do the things that make you happy. But don't ever allow somebody to make you feel like you're so small, like you're not good enough. The world can be a beautiful place if we see it that way. I always say the world needs more love. It really does. We need more hugs. We need more kisses. We need more of everything in this world, because the world can be such an up and down place. It just needs more love. Spread love. And just know that, again, you're amazing. If nobody told you today, I'm telling you, you're an amazing person. You got this. You can get through this. And it's going to get better. So thank you guys for listening to this episode. But I had to do this because I wanted to talk to you guys about how mental health affects relationships. And I wanted to share some stuff with you guys. And look out for the next episode, you guys, that I will be doing. Thank you so much. Peace and love.